Now, if you have your Bibles in front of you, you'll find that helpful. We're looking at Psalm 16, and this morning I'm looking at verses 7 and 8. And this is what these verses are saying. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. We began our study of Psalm 16 quite a few weeks ago, and I announced then that we're not going to rush through this psalm, because this is one of those psalms which lists, catalogues the blessings that God provides for his people. This is the grace of God. God is speaking in his word to sinners. God is speaking in his word to people who were born in sin, who've been rebellious against him. And even in our Christian lives, even after we're born again and we're in the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we still have sin in us and we still fall into sin. And God's word is speaking to us. And what does God say to us in his word? Is God's word full of thunderous judgment? Is God's word full of angry words, bitter words? No, God's word is full of encouragement. And you see the grace of God. When God speaks to sinners, God speaks in a gentle, kind, compassionate voice. When he speaks to his people who still have sin in us and who is still taken into rebellion against him, we still fall into sin. God speaks to us in gentle, compassionate, kind words. And there are passages here and everywhere, so scattered all over the word of God, which lists, which catalogues one by one, blessings that God has for us in this life. And I say this to you, and I say this with total seriousness. Lockdown is coming. Another month of lockdown is coming. How are you going to survive that? And I say this to you. Search out these passages where the blessings of God are categorized, are listed. Psalm 8, Psalm 16. You go into the New Testament. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. And you see the teachings of Jesus as he's about to leave his people. And Jesus knows that his people will be heartbroken when they see him on the cross. And so he speaks those words in John 13, 14, 15, 16 to comfort them, encourage them, strengthen their faith. Read those passages. Study them. They're not easy, but then that's good because it forces us to study them. Look at the words and see your Savior speaking to you, encouraging you, strengthening your heart. So Psalm 16 is one of those passages where the blessings of God are listed and they're there for our encouragement. They're there for a season such as this, where we're facing peculiar trials, peculiar difficulties. Our faith is being tested. Our walk with God is being challenged. And God says, here is my word. Read it, study it, and it'll encourage you, it'll strengthen your faith. It'll enable you to walk with me. It'll show you depths of love and depths of mercy you've never seen before. Well, let's study these words in Psalm 16, verses 7 to 8, the blessings of God. I have three things for you from these two verses, and I trust they'll be of help and of encouragement to you. Three things from these verses 7 and 8. And the first is this. These verses tell us that God guides his people and watches over them throughout their lives. God guides his people and watches over them throughout their lives. I say that because of what David says in the first half of verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Now that word counsel, it's a wonderful word. It's one of those words that can be translated in a number of ways. Counsel is a very good translation. And there are other translations which are equally good. You could have said, who gives me guidance. You could have said, who upholds me. You could have said, who encourages me. You could have said, who watches over me. All those ideas are found in this word counsel. When David became king, God in his mercy gave David counselors. Because that's how God always provides for his people. Whenever God puts a man in a certain position, he gives counselors so that they're there around him and they guide him and they help him in decision making. Can I just say this? I'm going to embarrass a number of men in the next few sentences, but I bless God for the deacons of this church. I bless God for the deacons of this church. And I meet with them on a regular basis, and they're wonderful to me because they're supportive, encouraging, and they help me and guide me. Right, embarrassing moment gone. Let's move on then in the scriptures. And God gave David counselors, and they helped him and encouraged him and guided him, because one man on his own, very difficult. And so David says here, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. And what he's saying here is that when God brings his people into his kingdom, he then guides them and he watches over them throughout their lives. There's a wonderful illustration of this, of course, in the Old Testament, after God had taken his people out of Egypt. You remember the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And they cried out to God for deliverance. And God came and through Moses delivered them out of slavery. They were about to be exterminated. The Egyptians were determined to exterminate them. And he removed them out of slavery. Now when he removed them and they crossed the Red Sea, God didn't then, on the opposite bank of the Red Sea, God then didn't say to them, well, you asked me to remove you from slavery. I've removed you from slavery. You're on your own now. Good luck, guys, and go away. God didn't do that, did he? You don't read that in Exodus, that on the opposite banks of the river, of the Red Sea, God then said, you're on your own now. Make your own way, and I hope it all goes well with you. You don't see that. You find that God is with them. Every step of the way, every minute of those 40 years, God is with them. And Moses especially saw the value of this. There's a wonderful passage in Exodus where God is angry with his people because they've yet again sinned. Once again, they've offended God. And God is hurt. And God says to Moses, look, I will send you, but my presence will not go with you. And Moses says, if your presence go not with us, do not send us. And God's presence remained with his people. They grumbled, they complained, they murmured, they said horrible things. There was a time when they even said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the wilderness to die? Do you know they say those words to God who had delivered them and to God who had provided for them? But right through those 40 years, God was with his people. And those 40 years in the wilderness is a picture of the daily Christian life. We also have been redeemed out of slavery, and we also are on our way to the promised land. And the 40 years of the wilderness is a picture of the Christian life here on earth. And the Lord is with us. And the Lord watches over us. And the Lord guides us. You must never think you're alone. You must never think you're all alone in this world. Perhaps you are living on your own. And lockdown is coming. And you say to yourself, this is going to be a difficult time. I expect it will be a difficult time. Perhaps you're now an elderly person and you're not able to do very much. You find shopping a struggle. and you think to yourself, this is going to be difficult. I want to tell you this. The Lord is always with his people. The Lord always watches over his people. The Lord always protects, provides for, and guides his people. He has never let them down. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he was about to leave his people in John's gospel? He's about to go to the cross, and he knows that they will feel lonely. And he knows that even after the resurrection, he's going to go back to heaven to sit at the Father's right hand. And perhaps my favorite words in the whole of the Bible, when Jesus says to his people, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Just reflect on that. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And God the Holy Spirit came. And God the Holy Spirit is with us. And his presence is every bit as precious as Jesus' presence was to his disciples. Because just as Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. We don't have an inferior blessing, you know. We're not in an inferior position to the apostles. It's not the case that they had the person of Jesus with them. They had the greatest blessing. And then the rest of us after the apostolic age, well, we have the second-hand blessings, not in the least. We have God with us, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. I will not leave you as orphans. Do not get discouraged. Do not feel that you're on your own and you've been abandoned of God. God never abandons his children. You wouldn't abandon your child. God never abandons his children. God is with his children. Pray daily that the Holy Spirit will visit you. Pray daily that you will know the presence of God. And pray daily that God will give you scriptures that will encourage your heart. So that's the first thing I want us to see, that God guides his people and watches over them throughout their lives. But there's a second thing here, and it's even more wonderful. And the second thing is this, that God guides his people and watches over them during their times of greatest need. He guides his people and watches over them during their times of greatest need. Now, let me ask you this question. Which part of the day do you find the most difficult? Which hours are the hardest for you? And I think if you're anything like me, it's the dark, isn't it? It's the night. The night is the most difficult part, isn't it? Particularly if you're woken up in the middle of the night. And you just can't get to bed again. You just can't get to sleep again. Do you not find that the most, do you not find that seems to be the time when the devil and his demons seem the most active? I find if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm unable to go back to sleep, if I'm not careful, the devil assaults my mind and my heart with all kinds of thoughts. Negative thoughts about God. You know, God can't love you. How can you say God loves you? Look at what's happened in your life. About other people. You know, the people in the church are terrible people. Look at the way they treat you. Look at the way that they speak to you. And he talks to me about all kinds of circumstances in my life. Oh, lockdown is coming. You're on your own. Your children are far from you. You're not going to see them. Perhaps at Christmas you won't see them. All these thoughts come. And they come in the night, don't they? Now, isn't it interesting that David mentions the night? Now, it could be literally the night, the hours of darkness, or it could be those particular times in your life when you are, figuratively speaking, in the night. Both are there. The Bible uses the night for both those ideas. So we don't have to say it's either one or the other. It's both. It's the time of the night when you are at your lowest, and the devil is shouting and shouting, and it's the time of your life during those weeks and months when particular stresses, particular problems, particular difficulties, particular pressures have come upon you. And God, and David says here, in the night also, my heart instructs me. Now, that's another way of saying it's basically what we call Hebrew parallelist line, expanded slightly in the second line. So it's another way of saying, in the night, in the times when my life is at its hardest, when the devil is most active and shouting the loudest, and I'm at my lowest, that is when God is especially gracious. God is especially good and especially kind. And he is. God is especially tender and especially merciful and especially kind to his people when they go through the hardest of times in their lives. I promise you this. In fact, I don't have to promise you this. The Bible promises you this. Do you remember another Psalm of David, the most famous Psalm of David, Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Think of that. You've memorized Psalm 23, I expect. You certainly know that verse. Well, at night, think about it. Bring it to your mind and say to devil, shut up a minute. I want to hear God. I don't want to hear you. I want to hear God's word. And hear God's word. And let God speak to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you remember those verses in the book of Isaiah? Let me read them to you. This is what Isaiah wrote for God's people. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Let me read them to you again. When you pass through the waters. Now, he doesn't say, I'm going to protect you. You will pass through the waters. God never says you won't have trials in your life. We will have trials in our life. So we will pass through the waters. But God says, when you pass through the waters, again, that phrase, I will be with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And here he is again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. That's a promise. Pick up those promises of God. God never says, they may not overwhelm you. It's likely they won't overwhelm you, but let's not bet on it. Do you know such verses don't exist in the Bible? Do you know words like may or may not hardly ever occur in the Bible? When God speaks, God says will, not may not, will. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. Not I may be with you. It's possible I'll be, if I have time, I'll be with you. No, I will be with you. No conditions there. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. They won't overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God. Read the book of Acts in the New Testament and see the number of times God's people were in dire straits. The time when Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was then, unleashed persecution upon the church. Or even before then, when the Jewish leaders imprisoned John and Peter and threatened them. And Peter was imprisoned again and threatened. And do you find that they gave up? Do you find that they turn around and say, Well, we were all alone in prison, and it was terrible. You don't hear that, do you? The Lord was with them. Paul and Silas in Philippi, singing and praying, midnight, singing and praying. Why? God is with them. This is not some feel good, you know, overcome with positive thinking. This is God's Spirit at work. This is God with them. And it's right through the Bible. Genesis, Joseph is in Potiphar's house, unjustly sold by his brothers. Do you know what it says in Genesis? The Lord was with him. Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. He's thrown into prison. Do you know what it says three times in that passage where it records Joseph's imprisonment? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Right through the Bible. When God's people go through the darkest times, God goes with them. He will not abandon you. I promise you that, because he promises you that. He will not abandon you. And so David says, in the night also, my heart instructs me. So God guides his people and watches over them through their lives. And God guides his people and watches over them during their times of greatest needs. And then the third thing in this passage, the Lord or God calls upon his people to trust him in all things. He calls upon his people to trust him in all things. Look at the way that these words are written. Look at the way verse 7 begins. I bless the Lord. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. You see, there is a responsibility upon God's people here. God has given us his promises. We are to take them. We are to apply them to ourselves. We are to appropriate them. We are to say, these are God's promises. I'm going to take hold of God's promises. And I'm going to live by God's promises. I'm going to believe God's promises. And I'm going to walk in God's promises. I'm not just going to say, yeah, God has promised it, but oh, life is terrible. No, you take hold of God's promises and you believe them. And you pray them. And you appropriate them. And when Satan comes, you say, but God has given me promises. How dare you say such things to me? How dare you say God doesn't love you? God has given me promises. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the promises of God. I fully appreciate that memorizing scripture is not something everybody can do. I really do appreciate that. But I say this to you. It is one of the most valuable disciplines of the Christian life. Because when you are in the darkest, you wake up in the middle of the night, how lovely it is to be able to call up scripture. God's word. Because of course, this is the sword. You remember Ephesians 6, where Paul says, the sword of the spirit, the word of God. And the promises of God shield us. And they protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one. Memorize scripture. If I were to turn my computer around and you could see my wall on my left hand here, you would see verses from the Bible, because I work here. This is the place where I work every day. And I've put verses. I've got there Psalm 27 verse 4, Psalm 33 verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5, Ephesians 3:14. I've got all these verses here. Because I look at them and I read them and I say to myself, God's promises to me. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. You see, it's a reminder to me. God loves me. Christ loves me. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, Psalm 33, verse 18. I've got that up there because they remind me of the promises of God. If you don't have a printer, send your favorite verses to me. There are people in this church who have a wonderful ministry of printing out verses on beautiful cards. You wouldn't have thought such a ministry existed. There are people in our church who have a ministry, God-given gift, of printing out a verse on a beautiful photograph. And you put them up, and they strengthen your faith, and they help you to get through the difficult times. God has given you his promises. Trust him. Trust him. And he will protect you, provide for you, and get you through. Amen. Let's